And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that has, well, global dimensions. More than that, even heavenly implications. We're going to be discussing a subject that I believe is vital to Christianity today. In fact, it's vital to your future, my future, and to America. You see, we are involved in a bloody and terrible war in the Middle East simply because not only of oil, although that's one of the major reasons we're there, but we are fighting and dying for Israel, for the little nation of Israel to become a greater Israel and a world power. We are dying as American men and women in the U.S. military. Now, I was an Air Force officer for over 20 years, worked very close with Army, Navy, Marines. I feel very keenly for anyone in uniform. Jerry Barrett, who's with me here in the studio and is our engineer, and by the way, he's also our web master. So if you go on our website, you'll find Jerry Barrett's outstanding work. His father was a military man and retired, and in fact was one of the top non-commissioned officers and taught leadership and management to other non-commissioned officers. So, you know, I'm sure Jerry also has a love of military things and an understanding of the need for a military. And I believe also in the concept of a just war. I believe it's necessary to defend oneself. And for that reason, I have no problem at all with fighting wars. I'd rather not fight them. I'd rather not Americans go to battle and kill anyone or be killed, but sometimes it's necessary. But you better make sure it is necessary before you send people out to die, to suffer and die. And if it is, well, then it is. You know, the same thing is true if you're sleeping at night and someone breaks into your home. I have no problem at all with taking a shotgun or a pistol and blowing that person's head off. I mean, you know, it's a horrible thing to do. But if they have broken into your home, and I still believe I'm of the old adage, a man's home is his castle, and no one has the right to interfere and break into a man's castle. that is deserving of death, because you don't know what they're going to do to you. If they've broken in, obviously they don't mean to come in and give you a piece of cake or offer you a Coca-Cola. They're intending to do you and your family harm, and you as a man or as a protector of your family and of your own body can do whatever is necessary to defend yourself. No, I'm not a pacifist at all. But I do believe we're in the Middle East for Israel and not America. And that's just the truth of it. We fought the first Persian Gulf War for Israel and for oil, and now we're fighting again. And now they want us to go into Iran. Well, all of this has to do with religion, because the Zionists believe that they're entitled to a new world order, which they'll lead, and they'll be basically the new Romans, the new Rome, even greater. Zionist utopia is their goal, and slavery for Gentiles is their aim. Now, to get this, they have to have a doctrine or dogma. Every dictator, every totalitarian system must set forth a system of how they intend to manage the world. The communists did this. The Romans did this. The Napoleonic Code did it as well. And there is a Zionist plan. You say, well, where is that recorded? Well, of course, if you've read the book, The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, you'll know about it. But there's another place. It's the most holy book of the Jews. It's called the Talmud. In fact, to be very specific, it's called the Babylonian Talmud because it was developed in ancient Babylon during the days of Jeremiah, Daniel, and other prophets when Israel was in captivity in Babylon, and they took the Torah, which is the first books of the Old Testament, and they apostatized and included the traditions of men with the Torah. But then they went worse and they developed the oral traditions of the rabbis and included those in. And they came up with a horrible, horrible satanic document called the Babylonian Talmud. The Pharisees adopted it. They believe not only is God speaking through the Talmud, but God's laws and God's words are interpreted by the ancient sages, the rabbis over the centuries. And they have come up with this holy book. It's actually a series of books. In fact, I have the Babylonian Talmud right here in front of me on CD-ROM that I can use on the computer. And it says here in the description of the Talmud that I have, so obviously that fits into one hand because it's on a CD-ROM. But it says that this is a version of the Babylonian Talmud edited by Dr. Jacob Nausner of Bard College, professor of religion and theology. And this Babylonian Talmud I'm holding in my hand, actually was originally 37 books. 37 books. It takes them 37 books to explain their laws and their rules for living and what they believe the future holds for Judaism and the whole world in the coming Zionist utopia. Now, these 37 books have been reprinted and have now been placed in a 22-volume set. So you can go online, or you can maybe go to Barnes & Noble's or Amazon.com online bookstore, and you can buy the Babylonian Talmud. It's going to cost you quite a bit of money, maybe a couple $1,000s for the entire product. This one was published by Hendrickson Publishers, which just happens to be a Christian publisher. Why would they want people to have the Babylonian Talmud? Is it for pastors to study? No. You see, today the Babylonian Talmud is being introduced into Christian churches. And thus, you can go to a Christian bookstore and they'll order the Babylonian Talmud. And what we've been seeing in the Christian churches today is a movement called Messianic Judaism. It's Jews who say they believe in Jesus, but they're bringing the old laws, the old man-made traditions of the Pharisees into the Christian church. And this is the hottest movement in Christendom today. Recently, I received a publication called Cherith Chronicle. It's put out by a good friend of mine in the Seventh-day Adventist church. Now, I'm not Seventh-day Adventist, but I think this man is a good man, a Christian man, and he continues to warn those in the Seventh-day Adventist faith about the merging of Judaism with the Seventh-day Adventist church theology. He said it's the biggest thing going. And he said, soon, professed Adventism, that's the Seventh-day Adventist, theology will not be recognizable because the Jews are taking it over. I have some friends going to a Bible church that's very similar to Southern Baptist type of doctrine. But now their church has changed. They're into Jewish holy dancing and Talmudic classes, and they've totally gone Jew. Well, what does it mean? It means the synagogue is swallowing up Christendom. And this has been destined for a long time, and it's been a plot of the rabbis for centuries, now coming to fulfillment. Messianic Judaism has an intent to totally destroy true Christianity. How are they going to do it? By bringing the Talmud into the Christian church. And what they need are people like Joel Osteen, Pastor Lakewood Church in Houston, or Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church, the guy that they call America's pastor, and the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, and a few others to embrace this. And believe me, that's coming. Pastor Rick Warren was invited to speak before a conference of 4,000 Jewish rabbis this year. What an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus. But he wasn't invited there to preach Jesus. He was invited there because the rabbis knew he would not preach Jesus. Now, you say, well, what did he preach? In his own words, let me tell you what Rick Warren, the guy who wrote, you know, the number one New York Times bestselling book, Purpose Driven Church. Here's what he said to them, to the Jewish rabbis. Now remember, what an opportunity. A Christian pastor invited to speak at a huge international conference of 4,000 rabbis of Judaism. Let me ask you a question, dear friends. What would you say to them? I know what I would say. I would declare the hope of Israel, the hope of the whole world, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the whole world. That's what I would do. That's what Stephen did in the book of Acts in the Bible. Of course, they were so furious, they stoned him to death. And Peter and the others of the early Christian church in Jerusalem were brought before the rabbis and ordered not to preach Jesus. And they were beaten. But I can assure you, Rick Warren was not beaten. Rick Warren was not stoned because he did not preach Jesus. What did he preach? He said in his own words, I told them to smile and be friendly. Well, isn't that nice? Smile and be friendly. Folks, 4,000 men, rabbis, with responsibility for hundreds of thousands of Jewish men and women, all of them headed straight for hell because they don't know Jesus. In fact, I'm going to show you in a minute how they despise Jesus, hate Jesus, ridicule our Lord. If you can't, it is your responsibility to pluck some of them out of the very fires of hell. If you can, at least give it a good shot, give it a try. I was invited to a conference of psychologists down in Florida. They invited me to come down and speak for 2 nights. They'd come from all over the United States. They wanted to hear what I had to say about the New Age movement because I had the number one best-selling book in the country on that subject. But I didn't get to speak the second night. They were so furious after the first night, the director of the conference came to me and said, I'm sorry, we cannot let you speak again. What you said was too controversial. Well, what did I say? I didn't ask him that. I'm rhetorically asking the question to you. I suspect you know what I said. I told those psychologists that the only way to help people was the Holy Bible. It was the guide for daily living. By the way, I forgot a little element. I forgot to tell you something. The men down there in Florida that had come from all over the United States and the world at this huge psychology conference all claimed to be Christian counselors. They were Christian psychologists and counselors. But I noticed when they came to hear me talk, none of them had the Bible in their hand. They weren't interested in the Bible. They were interested in the newest research on Freud and Jung and Lang and all the other psychologists and psychiatrists, which I know to be pure malarkey and junk. And I said to them, I see none of you gentlemen have the Bible with you tonight. Well, you don't have any power to help people in their lives. And then I told them, if you call yourself a Christian counselor or a Christian psychologist, and you're not using the Bible as your counseling guide, then why don't you just admit it? You're not a Christian counselor. You're not a Christian psychologist. Why don't you take the shingle off the front door of your office or your building and take off the word Christian? Paint it off. Saw it off. You might be a psychologist or a counselor. You're probably not a good one, I said. But you're certainly not a Christian one. And it just seemed that those men didn't want me to hear me again speak. So they wouldn't let me speak the second night. But that was okay. I think they heard enough the first night. Don't you? They probably heard more than they had ever heard in their whole life the first night. Smile and be friendly. That was what Rick Warren told the Jews. What kind of weak Kool-Aid religion is this? You can't fight the Jim Jones of the world, the People's Temple, by saying smile and be friendly. You can't change a man or a woman's life. You can't save their soul by saying smile and be friendly. It's not a matter of smiling. It's not a matter of being friendly. I suspect the devil is one of the smiliest individuals in the world. I bet he's so deceitful if you were to meet him. I bet you he would be the most charming, beguiling individual. He's like Bill Clinton as president. Many people met Bill Clinton and said, you know, he sure is likable, personable. He's the kind of guy you just want to go out to dinner with and talk. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Hitler was likable. Got a whole nation crazy about him. And, of course, there was hero worship of Joseph Stalin. People put up pictures in their homes in the schools of Joseph Stalin. I mean, kids thought he was like another Christ Jesus come. Until all of his sins of murder, mass murder, torture, and gulag concentration camps were revealed after his death. Well, so my good friend in the Seventh-day Adventist, Phil, says, soon the Seventh-day Adventist church will be no more, basically. It's being swallowed up by Messianic Judaism. They added the little word Messianic. But they still want to swallow Christianity up with Judaism. Bring it back to the old covenant. And eventually, of course, the new covenant of Jesus Christ will be totally destroyed. Totally outmoded and thrown out the window. Now, I want you to understand, a lot of people say, well, what have you got against the Talmud? What have you got against this Babylonian Talmud of the Jews? What does it say in there that would make you so find it repulsive and disgusting, Tex Mars? I'm going to tell you in just a moment, but first I want to tell you something else. I have read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and everything I find in it, I find to be true. I find not everything wholesome in the sense that it's good, Because some of it describes evil. It does. It describes evil being done. But it's there for our instruction, so that we will not repeat the same mistakes as some others have made. And the end result is to discover the truth that Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and the Savior and Messiah of the whole world. This is the reason for the Bible's presentation to mankind. Now, I have read and studied very carefully the Islamic, the Muslim Quran. I can tell you what it says. In fact, I've done an expose of the Quran right here on this radio station. And we offer a CD and an audio tape about the Quran and its true meaning. Even how it relates to 9/11. The Quran, the Muslim Quran. Is it a true book of God? Absolutely not. Is it the same as the Bible, the Holy Bible? Of course not. For one thing, its account of Jesus Christ is a lie. In the Talmud, you find Jesus respected. You find Jesus praised. In the Quran. In the Quran of the Muslims, you find Jesus praised. You find him recognized. You find him acclaimed as a great teacher, even as a prophet. Yes, as a prophet, but not the prophet. He is subordinate to Muhammad, the prophet of Allah, who is the God of the Muslims. And as far as Jesus dying on the cross, they said he died and that was it. He was never resurrected. Okay? Never resurrected. There is no resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Muslim world. And yet they preach that Jesus will return again. And he will defeat the false religions of the devil and then make everything right. That's right. Jesus is coming again according to the Quran. Also according to the Quran, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is given great respect. Now, some people have said to me, well, why do we criticize Islam if Jesus is acclaimed as a great teacher and a prophet and his mother is venerated and respected? My friends, the Bible makes clear, the Holy Bible makes clear, Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the only Savior there is. Jesus created the world. He was here at the beginning and he created this world. It is Jesus to whom we must look for our salvation and none other. There is no other foundation, not Muhammad, not Allah, and certainly not a bunch of so-called Jewish sages, the ancient rabbis of the Pharisees. So for this reason, we must reject the Quran, even though it has some good things about it. The devil never gives you total evil. He always mixes good and bad. He mixes darkness with light. Otherwise, no one would believe the devil. So there is a mixture of error and truth in the Talmud, Quran. But of the three, of the Quran and the Talmud and the Bible, the worst, the most sickening, the most vile, the most disgusting, the most repulsive cesspool of lies and blasphemy is the Talmud of the Jews. The Talmud of the Jews is never exposed. The Jews know that no Christian pastor has the guts, has the courage to expose the Talmud. And although the Quran is spit upon and criticized very heavily, even on our television channels and networks today, you'll never find the Talmud even mentioned, certainly not in a negative fashion. But the Bible is constantly criticized, the Holy Bible of Christianity. It's constantly blasphemed and looked down upon and made fun of, the Bible. Now, why do I say the Jewish Talmud is the most evil book in the world? I'm going to show you in just a moment exactly what the Talmud is all about. Now, I want to make one thing plain to you. When I expose and unmask the Jewish Talmud, their most holy book. Now remember, this document, this series of books really, the Talmud, to the Jewish rabbis is greater than the Old Testament. It combines the Old Testament with the sayings and wisdom of the Jewish rabbis over the ages, and therefore it is superior to any other book, including the Old Testament, or the Torah, as they call the Old Testament books. So I want you to understand, this is the one, the only pure holy book to the Jews. They have some others. They have the Kabbalah with its Zohar and other books of magic. But it is the Talmud that they believe is their own daily guide for living. And many Jews say they would prefer to be dead without the Talmud. In fact, Ruth Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice of the United States Supreme Court, says that every day she consults the Talmud for wisdom and truth, and is how she is to conduct herself as a Supreme Court judge. This is how important the Talmud is to the Orthodox Jews. Now, it is so important, in fact, that the Jews have made sure that information about Jesus and Christianity is included in it. Since it is Christianity that they feel is their only true competitor in the world, the Jews make mention of Jesus in their holy book. In fact, just recently, Princeton University Press, one of the most distinguished and elitist publishing houses in the world, from Princeton University, the Ivy League school, Dr. Peter Schaefer, professor there, in fact, he is professor of Judaic studies and director of the program in Judaic studies at Princeton University, and author of many books, has just put out a new book, and I want to tell you about it. It's an important book. Remember, Dr. or Professor Peter Schaefer. He is a very, very devout Orthodox Jew. And he's written a book. And it's entitled, Jesus in the Talmud. Jesus in the Talmud. And he says in his book, basically, that many of us have been lying for decades, even centuries, about the Talmud. We wanted to protect Judaism, and we didn't want the Christians to know what we actually do teach about the Christian church and Jesus and even Mary. But, says Dr. Schaefer, I believe it's time to let people know. So rather than just keeping these things bottled up in the Talmud, which is not read by Christians, Christians never read it, and the world doesn't know much about what our holy book says. They think it must be good because it's from the Jews. I, he says, am going to tell the world what our Jewish holy book says about Jesus. It should be known what we believe about Jesus. Now, in just a minute, friends, we're going to take a short break. When I come back, I'm going to explain to you what Dr. Peter Schaefer, Princeton University professor of Judaic studies, one of the top experts on the Talmud in the entire world, recognized by all the Jewish rabbis, what he reveals about Jesus in the Talmud, and why one publication says, quote, the cat is out of the bag. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. The date was May 3rd, 1996. The place? Tel Aviv, Israel. Police raided an apartment. They were joined by reporters from a TV news station and a daily newspaper, Davar Rishon. They found a bizarre scene. The walls were covered in Latin script. Skulls and bones graced the shelves. Swords were crossed and mounted behind an altar. Doors led to secret passages with red blinking intruder warning lights. The next day, news reports announced, quote, these apartments were used for ceremonies by the Freemasons, an organization whose membership in the Nation of Israel boasts cabinet ministers and high-ranking army officers. You know, dear friends, it's important that we understand why America is dying and bleeding in the Middle East. Why have we given the Nation of Israel over $250 billion in free foreign aid money over the years? Why have we remained silent while Jewish military spies in America stole our most precious nuclear secrets and now have constructed 400 to 600 atomic and other nuclear bombs, which they have at the ready if World War III begins soon? Why do we allow this? Why do we allow Israel to attack the poor, poverty-stricken, pitiful Palestinian people and to massacre so many and to starve and thirst so many Palestinians to death, to steal the land and the businesses and the orchards of the Palestinians, even to kill so many children among the Palestinians? Why do we allow it? Here's why. Our leadership in the United States is operated behind the scenes by neocon Zionist Jews. Most of these people, including our own vice president, are high-level Masons. Dick Cheney is a 33rd degree Mason. But in Israel, in Jerusalem today, most of the Jewish leadership are also members of this hideous, satanic-worshipping secret society, the Freemasons. And we have a video, either in DVD or VHS format for you, that will reveal the secrets. For the first time, I have unmasked the secret society that controls Israel and the United States, and through them, the entire world. The title is Masonic Lodge Over Jerusalem. I prove in this video, I even show you where these evil, satanic Jewish Freemasons meet. And when men such as former President Bill Clinton and President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney and Senator John McCain and others visit Israel, they go into this lodge deep under the earth, entering through Zedekiah's cave, and they practice their Satanism along with their Israeli counterparts. This is why no matter who we elect in office, nothing changes. Because there is a Masonic lodge over Washington, D.C., but at the same time, there is a Masonic lodge over Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know the truth about this, and we're offering this 60-minute DVD. Now, if you want the old VHS format, we've got that for you, too. The price of this is $25. You're not going to be able to buy this at a bookstore. And as far as I know, there's only a couple of other sources for this in the entire world. Why? Friends, they don't want you to know this information. This is forbidden knowledge to you and me. But it is exposed for the first time in this video entitled Masonic Lodge Over Jerusalem. Here's how to get your personal copy now. $25, add $4 shipping and handling, a total of $29. Just phone us toll free to order it. Use your charge card, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673 in the United States and Canada. You can write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. in the United States of America. Now, again, that's $25, $4 for shipping and handling, a total of $29 postpaid for the video, DVD or VHS, so specify which one you want now, okay? And send that to Power of Prophecy. Now, if you're not receiving our monthly newsletter, Power of Prophecy, we'll put you on our mailing list absolutely free. You can also order this video by going online to powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Now let's return to our regular program. We're discussing Jesus and the Talmud. The cat is out of the bag. Recently I was reading Publishers Weekly. It's the number one magazine for the book-selling industry in America. And it asked this question. And by the way, the article was by a Jewish man, David Klinghoffer. He wrote, "Will Peter Schaeffer's new book, Jesus and the Talmud, be controversial? I'm afraid so," Schaeffer told Publishers Weekly. Well, the reason why, you see, as this article well explains, is that evidently there are passages in the Talmud that many Christians will be deeply offended by if only they knew about them. And let me read exactly what this says. Now, Publishers Weekly, incidentally, is edited by Jews. And most of the publishing industry in New York is owned and run by, that's right, Jews. Here's what Publishers Weekly then, published from New York, says. It says about Schaeffer, Dr. Schaeffer, the author of this book, Jesus and the Talmud. Schaeffer, who heads up Princeton's Judaic Studies program, has collected and analyzed all the passages in the Talmud that refer to the founder of Christianity. Texts that were previously censored from Talmud editions for centuries. In his book, he argues that the scandalous passages refer not to some other figure of ancient times, but indeed to the famous Jesus of Nazareth. What exactly is so scandalous? Now let me stop here just a minute, dear friends, listening to Power Prophecy. Now this article is going to tell you, it's going to summarize what Schaeffer's book does. It asks the questions, what exactly in this book makes it so scandalous? Listen, quote, "How about Jesus punished in hell for eternity by being made to sit in a boiling cauldron of excrement?" You know what excrement is? It's human waste. Schaeffer points out that according to the most holy book of the Jews, Jesus is still being punished to this day and will be for eternity by being forced to sit in a superheated cauldron of boiling S-H-I-T. Not only that, it says here, but Schaeffer's book gives an account of Jesus' trial and execution direct from the Talmud. Jesus was tried not by the Romans, but by the Jewish high court, the Sanhedrin. And then he goes on to say, the Jewish community has been content up to now to let these things remain obscure and unknown. But Schaeffer, a distinguished Christian scholar, No, he's not a Christian, friends. He's a scholar of Christianity. He's a Jew. Let me clarify that. When it says he's a Christian scholar, he's a scholar who has studied Christianity, but he's a Jew, an Orthodox Jew. He describes classical rabbinic literature as, quote, "my first love." That's his first love. Rabbinical literature has now definitively let the cat out of the bag. And this undermines a widespread assumption that of Judaism's and Christianity's respective sacred texts, only the Christian Gospels go out of their way to assail and attack the rival faith, whereas Judaism's classical texts refrain from similar attacks. It seems fair to say, based on the evidence presented by Dr. Peter Schaeffer in his book, Jesus and the Talmud, that the Talmud is every bit as offensive to Christians as the Gospels are to Jews. Now remember, this is a Jew writing this, David Klinghoffer. The Talmud's portrait of Jesus, it says, unapologetically mocks Christian doctrines, including the virgin birth and the resurrection. It is meant to insult. It's meant to insult. In fact, Dr. Schaeffer in his book calls the Talmud's assault on Christian claims, quote unquote, devastating. It makes a devastating attack on Christianity. It is a very serious argument, says Schaeffer. The rabbi's stories about Jesus, it says, encode all of the legal and theological argumentation against Christianity and Jesus as developed by the rabbis. Interesting, isn't it? All of the argumentation, all of the theology presented by the Jews and their devastating attack. Okay? Now, that's first of all. Now, not only does this book, Jesus and the Talmud, tell the truth about what the Jewish highest holy book says about Jesus and Christianity, but there's another gentleman, a man named Stephen Baim, B-A-Y-M-E. He's National Director of Contemporary Jewish Life. Contemporary Jewish Life. And Stephen Baim has also written a book. It's entitled, let me make sure I've got this right, Understanding Jewish History. Understanding Jewish History, published 1997. And he has written a recent article entitled Jesus and the Talmud Himself. And he talks about the fact that so many Jews today have assured Christians that they are not responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. It was the Romans, says Dr. Stephen Baim. At least that's the claim. Remember, Mel Gibson was attacked, his movie, The Passion of Christ. And remember Abraham Foxman, head of the Jewish ADL organization, he attacked Gibson. Called him an anti-Semite. How dare you, he told Mel Gibson. How dare you? Jews are not responsible for Jesus' death. It was the Romans that did it. It was Governor Pontius Pilate. But according to Dr. Stephen Baim, who knows a lot more about the Jewish holy books than even Abraham Foxman does, believe me, he says not so. In fact, in the Talmud, the Jews argue that it was they. They brag about the fact it was they, not the Romans, that did it. And they're proud. They said, we put to death a blasphemer. The Romans didn't want to do it. Pilate tried not to do it. But we, the Jews, insisted it be done. Because this Jesus was a dangerous blasphemer. In fact, Mr. Baim actually quotes the Talmud. Let me read it to you. It says, on the eve, this is from the Jewish Talmud now about Jesus' crucifixion. Quote, on the eve of Passover, Jesus was hanged. For 40 days before the execution took place, a herald went forth in Jerusalem and cried out, quote, he is going forth to be stoned because he has practiced sorcery and enticed Israel to apostasy. Anyone who can say anything in his favor, let him come forward and plead on this Jesus' behalf. But since nothing was brought forward in his favor, he was hanged on the eve of Passover. Why did they wait 40 days? According to the Talmud, because Jesus was connected with the Roman government. He was favored by the Roman government, and so they had to move very slowly against him and make sure that there was no one there to defend him. They're saying the Romans didn't want to do it, but we did. So we had to move very cunningly and carefully. In fact, the Jews and their Talmud say that Governor Pontius Pilate, the governor from Rome, went to great lengths to spare Jesus, but the rabbinical leadership, the Sanhedrin, said, no, crucify him. Against the desires of the Romans, the Jews put him to death. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is Tex Smart speaking. I believe the Talmud is truthful. Yes, that's right. That may shock you. They say the Jews are the ones responsible for Jesus' death. And you know what? The Talmud does not lie. In this case, it doesn't lie. In this one instance, it doesn't lie. Because the Holy Bible itself, the New Testament, gives that very account. Jesus says, I am going to be delivered up to the Jews. He never said, I'll be delivered to the Romans. It's the Jews that are going to crucify me. And Stephen, oh, precious Stephen, they said he had a countenance like an angel. And when the Jewish elders accosted him on the streets of Jerusalem and demanded an account of why he was preaching this Jesus, Stephen, the first martyr, spoke of Jesus, spoke of who he was. And he says, this Jesus was truly Lord and Messiah, and he is the one who you Jews put to death. He didn't say he's the one the Roman soldiers put to death. He's the one Pilate put to death. You know, friends, in California, a couple of decades ago, a maniac, a madman, sent forth his disciples and told them to commit murders. His name was Charles Manson. But he has said, I've never killed anybody. I didn't personally do it, but he was guilty. He's a murderer. He's in prison now for life, justifiably so. The Jews said, our hands are clean. We didn't personally put him on the cross. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. They paid 30 pieces of silver for his betrayal. They insisted. They demanded. They even threatened Pilate. Why, you are in violation of your own Caesar, your own emperor. You are no friend of Rome, Pilate, unless you do our bidding and put this man Jesus to death. Oh, they're guilty. The Bible says it, and the Talmud says it, and both of them are correct. But what else does the Talmud say? What does Dr. Peter Schaefer, in his book Jesus and the Talmud, say? What do the other Jewish rabbis, the ones who will admit what the Talmud says, what do they say the Talmud speaks concerning Jesus and Christianity? Okay, let's look at it. I'm going to give you some facts here. We don't have much time, and I want you to know about these things. These are actual quotations from the Jewish Holy Book. You tell me whether you're offended. Friends, you tell me whether this is one of the most evil books you've ever heard of in your life. Listen to this one. From Arabin 21b, pages 149-50 of the Talmud, it says, quote, the commands of the rabbis are more important than the commands of the Bible. That's what it teaches. It says in Baba Barra 59b and page 353, it says, God, when he intervenes in a rabbinical dispute, is always defeated by a rabbi. The rabbis are able to dispute with God and defeat him in an argument, it says. God proclaims the rabbi the victor in a debate with himself. And then it also says on page 59, quote, the rabbis are greater than the prophets. Now, here's another one. Listen to this one. How do you receive eternal life? How do you receive salvation according to the Talmud? From Pesachim 113a, page 582 of the Talmud. He who recites Psalm 145 three times a day will have eternal life. Just recite a psalm three times a day and you'll have eternal life. Here's another way to do it. Living in the land of Israel gives one eternal life. All you have to do is go live in Israel and you'll receive eternal life. See how wonderful they love their little country? What do they say about Jesus and Mary? Yevamoth 49b, paragraph 49b, page 324. Jesus was a bastard born of adultery. What else does it say? Sanhedrin, paragraph 106a and b, page 725 of the Talmud, says, quote, Mary was a whore. Jesus was an evil man. But that's not all. Shabbat, paragraph 104b, page 504 of the Talmud says, quote, Jesus was a magician and a fool. Mary was an adulteress. What does it say about you? Are you a Christian, dear friend, listening to me? Well, the Talmud says something about you. It says something about you. Listen to what it says. In Abodah Zara, paragraph 17a, page 85 of the Talmud, it says, quote, Christians are allied with hell, and Christianity is worse than incest. Mm-hmm. Now, what's going to happen to the Christians when the Jewish Messiah comes? Oh, they're waiting for the Messiah. I had a Christian pastor just last week wrote me a letter and said, Tex, why do you criticize the Jews? They're looking forward to the Messiah coming. Don't you know they're looking forward to the Messiah coming just like we are? And I wanted to write the man a letter back and say, you idiot. You idiot. They're looking for the Antichrist, the false Messiah to come. Haven't you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Don't you understand the Bible, you fool? You idiot so-called pastor? You're not a pastor. You're not guarding the flock of Christ. I hope that pastor is listening to this message today. Then he will read or listen to Sanhedrin, paragraph 99a, page 668 of the Talmud, where the rabbis teach, quote, when Messiah comes, he will destroy the Christians. Their Messiah, Satan's Antichrist, the counterfeit of Jesus, listen to what he's going to do. What will he do? Quote, he will destroy the Christians. What about Christians who read the Gospels? Are the Jews pleased because you read the Gospels? The sayings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount? Could there be anything wrong with the words of Jesus and the Gospels? Well, let me tell you what the Sanhedrin book of the Talmud, paragraph 90A, paragraph 100B, pages 601 to 602 and 680 say, quote, those who read the Gospels of the Christians are doomed to hell. You're headed for hell just because you read the Gospels, just because you read the words of Jesus. Now, some Christian pastors say, well, at least the Jews are very moral. The rabbis believe like we do. They're against pornographic filth and all those other things. Oh, yes, they stand up for the morality of America. I believe in Judeo-Christian values. Haven't you heard that before? Judeo-Christian values. That's an oxymoron. That's like saying I believe in satanic Christian values. You can't believe in Judeo-Christian values. There's no such thing. Let me tell you what the Talmud says about sex, about sexual perversion. From the Sanhedrin, paragraph 55b, page 376 of the Talmud, it says, quote, it is permitted, let me say that again, it is permitted to have sexual intercourse with a girl 3 years old in one day. It is permitted to have sexual intercourse with a girl 3 years old and 3 years old in one day. How about necromancy? How about sex with a dead body? Yevamoth, paragraph 55b, page 371 says, quote, intercourse with a dead woman is permissible. Intercourse with a dead woman is permissible? What about pedophilia? How about an adult having sex with a little boy? Sanhedrin, this is in the Talmud now, their most holy book. Sanhedrin, page, para 54b, para 55a, page 371. Listen to this, dear friends. If a man commits sodomy with a boy less than 9 years old, it is not sodomy. By the way, back to the 3-year-old girl. This is confirmed again elsewhere in the Talmud. Ketubot, para 11b, page 58. Sexual intercourse with a girl less than 3 is nothing. Mm-hmm. It's nothing. Why do you think that the Jews are the leaders in pedophilia and pornography in the whole world? Did you know that the capital of triple X rated movies is a place called Northridge, California, out of Los Angeles, and the whole industry is run by the Jews? Did you not know that, dear friends? Of course you don't know that. The media won't tell you that. The Christian pastors won't tell you that. The James Dobsons and the Rick Warrens and the Joel Osteen won't tell you that. They won't even read the Talmud to you. They won't tell you what the Talmud says about sexual perversion, about Jesus, about the Gospels, about Mary. Some people say, but don't you love the Jews? Don't you want to reach the Jews for Christ? Of course I do. But you don't reach them by saying, I love your Talmud and I want America to be a Judeo-Christian nation. You tell them the truth. The Talmud is a filthy, dirty, pornographic book of horrors. And even the Quran is 1,000% better than the Talmud. And you tell them what no one else will tell them, the truth, that there is a hope for Israel. There is a hope for the Jew. There is a hope for salvation, even for the Jewish pornographer. And every rabbi has to be a pornographer because he's promoting a filthy book called the Talmud. But there's hope. And what hope is that? It comes from a man who was God. A man who came to this planet 3,000 years ago from, or 2,000 years ago, I'm sorry. Of course, he's been here in the heavens for thousands, untold thousands of years. But he literally came in the flesh as God some 2,000 years ago. He's the very word of God. He's the very seed of truth. And once this wonderful person, this wonderful being, once his seed is planted in the heart of a man, it grows and it grows. And nothing can conquer it. If a man believe in this Jesus Christ, he will live forever. If he believe what he did on the cross was true, and truly he was resurrected, and truly he lives forever, then that man who believes will also live forever. This is truly the hope of Israel, not the Talmud. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is that you tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.